the pre-shear sessions, the post-pre-shear sessions might end somewhat.
I probably wouldn't get into smicha if they had heard, if they hear all this stuff. So,
well, Eitan, if they hear your Roe v. Wade, then for sure.
Not true. The RCA only requires you to disavow women rabbis and Chabad. Everything else,
Chabad,
is,
that's the, fair play. Everything else is kosher. So we've been talking about this idea of Rashan B'nai Yerlasiel Kitzasan, the power that the community has to make takanos. We saw a whole slew of Rishonim in the Tshuvas HaRashba and the Tshuvas HaRivash to the effect that the Tzibur has the same koach that Beis Din has. And it seemed like this is just a power, a legislative power imminent within the Tzibur itself. Today, I want to add a few more Rishonim and formulations to the list. We'll see some of these sources point us to the Makar, another possible Makar for where this Koach HaTzibur derives from. And then I want to look into some of the related issues about pushing this idea into aspects of Isser V'Heter, that question of whether a community can make a Takana to abide by the Rambam's Pesukim, and in general, not just in Dinim Omanis. So this would extend the idea beyond Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. And then also to look at some of the questions about the how you get to a communal decision on these takanos. What procedure has to be followed, or who speaks for the tzibur. So we'll examine some of those issues. We left off yesterday with the Tshuvas HaRivash. We finished that tshuva. I want to now take up the tshuva of the Tashbates and Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf, Lamed Gimel. The Tashbates was asked a similar question that the Rivash addressed, whether the tzibur itself has the power to mafkia kedushin. And again, this is a case where they were worried a city made a takana, shelo yekadesh adam ela b'shas hanesuin. Sounds like, you know, in the times of the Gemara, they had the minhag to separate the kedushin from the nesuin. And for whatever reason, communities thought it was better to require them to be done bevas achas. U'pirshu v'takanasam sh'im kidei shelo yu kedusha v'kedushin. V'im avar adam v'kidei shelo b'shas hanesuin mahu. Im yesh koach v'takanas hatzibor lafgia hakedushin. V'kasavta shekein, shekein matzasa b'tshuvas agonim, d'chol d'mekadesh adai t'drabbanon h'mekadesh. Notice just even in the language of the Shaila, there's a question of whether the tzibur has this koach to mafkia kedushin. And even in the language, there's this conflation of kol d'mekadesh adai t'drabbanon mekadesh with the koach hatzibur to mafkia kedushin. Right? The language of the Gemara isn't kol d'mekadesh adai t'tzibura mekadesh, it's adai t'drabbanon mekadesh. And at least for the Shoel and the Tashbates, it seems to be the same koach. When the Tashbates himself gets into his analysis, he says, of course, the Gemara says, Sheichol and Bezdin lafkia kedushin, right? Zeh inyan mefurashu b'talmid, ve'in tzarech lefnim, it's kind of obvious, doesn't need to be examined further that a Bezdin has his koach. Aval mashi yesh la'ayin b'zeh, hu imzeh ha'koach hu mispashet afilu b'takanas ha'kohol in lo. Really a nice way of phrasing it, right? He's saying it's apodictic that a Beis Din has this power, but it's a further question whether it extends to the tzibur. And he answers, v'nira v'adai d'david d'achadahi, shaharei koach hatzibur al ha'yechidim kekoach hanasi al kol Yisrael. And here it seems like that phrase, which we've seen borrowed in the Tshuvas HaRashba and the Rivash, is not just a rough analogy, because it's prefaced by David d'achadahi. Right, these two ideas are one and the same. That koach hatzibur al hayichidim is the same as this koach nasi al kol Yisrael, and therefore he says v'chol hayachid mekadesh adaita didhu mekadesh v'inu afke inu lekedushin minei. Saying, look, the tzibur just has this power, and you know the Gemara says kol mekadesh adaita derabanan mekadesh, but the tzibur is basically the same thing. So kol mekadesh is adaita didhu adaita didtzibur mekadesh. I think it's an amazing formulation here, that speaks like substantively to this connection between the Koach Bezin and the Koach Tzibur. I want to just draw your attention to the last line in that tshuva, in that same tshuva, the Taj Beitz. There he says, he concludes, Afil l'dvar erv, the davar sheba erva, baru hu sherashayim b'kach, v'hu adim l'tzibur, shekivan she'anu danin al mashe noagin, afilum lo nichtav kimo t'nai bezdin, im kein harehem l'chol b'nei kahalam, kebezdin hagadol. So at the end here also, he connects this to the idea of Tanai Bezdin, that what the Tzibur does, since they have this halachic authority to enact practices, you know, even if it's not written down somewhere, it's like a Tanai Bezdin, whatever they agree upon, and they have this power like Bezdin Hagadol with respect to their own kehila. So, you know, Tash Beitz reinforces a lot of these central themes that we've seen in the earlier Rishonim. Let me just mention the second tshuva of the Tash Beitz. Does somebody have comments on that first tshuva they want to raise? Anybody thoughts?
Yeah. So just the whole, I guess this is more of a cold question. But the fact that we're dragging this into Kedushin, which again, as we've been saying, has been something that's pretty like formulaic, sort of want to be by the books. I'm not so convinced that like Adate de Tzibur is enough. Like sort of so what? So Adate de Tzibur that everyone who gets married has to have everyone else in the community agree upon it. Like it doesn't seem like I don't mechanistically what's the power to get married at Adate de Tzibur? As opposed to Adate de Rabbanan, where you know you follow, you know, Shulchan Aruch there, and you're good.
Yeah. So, anybody want to respond to Evan or who's
There's a discussion in the Gemara in the Sugya of Afkinhu about what the mechanism is for Afkinhu. There's a popular for at least for Kiddushei Kesef. A popular view is that it works via Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And so the, like, so whoever can,
that would work.
Yeah, so whoever can be Mafkir, it would seem to be. Okay, I think the more substantial view, though, is that, like, you know, if Kol D'Mekadesh Adaita D'Rabbanan Mekadesh, Kal V'Chomer Adaita D'Kehila Mekadesh, like, you know, whatever power is vested in the Rabbanan, you know, in a particular locality might be a fortiori vested in the community. So there wouldn't
I think, yeah, I think that if that latter point, like, I think Yoni mentioned earlier in Kol D'Mekadesh Adaita D'Rabbanan Mekadesh, it's an implicit tnai. You don't even have to go the Hefker Bezdin approach here. Just that there's like some halachic rule that near Mekadesh, it's al das, that the Rabbanan rubber stamp it, or the Rabbanan approve it. You can see here the Tash Beitz in the beginning of the Tshuva says, V'gam shemanu gam kein sharamban nishal inyan zeh, inyan kimo zeh, v'heshiv gam kein decho ha-Mekadesh ha-daita d'Rabbanan Mekadesh. Really emphasizing that implicit Tanai idea that when you get married, it's al das ha-Rabbanan. Or, you know, literally Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael or something like that. And he's saying it's not just Aldas HaRabbanim. It's like Aldas, the centralized authority of the Tzibur. You hear that, Evan?
Yeah. So again, that kind of like opens you up to what is the centralized authority, right? So if we're saying the centralized authority, right? I mean, like the word centralized seems to say that it's not like some global or not. Cole shaking his head. So maybe not.
I don't lead on Itamar's use of centralized.
Okay. So I guess the idea is that something like Kedushin, where, okay, assuming obviously that it's not just Hefker based in Hefker, if there is some implicit tonight across the state, then if we're gonna like say that this implicit tonight is strong enough to break up Kedushin, like, shouldn't there be a little more substance to it other than just it's a handshake across the some people, right? Because I'm sort of going on the end there, which is like it's not even written, and it's, you know, almost, you know, almost enacting Darshin on Lashon Hedyo. There's like some, it's like a, I don't want to say it's a slippery slope, but like it seems to
be. The Tosbates does say that I think it's got to be, for this sort of thing, it's got to be written down. He says that in the, in Aleph, Lamed, was it Aleph Shin Lamed Tess? I think he's got something about how you got to make it.
Right.
Like somebody's got to like bang on the fender.
That make a lot
I
of
mean,
sense.
I don't think it's so problematic. Talk more about it. You know, it's imagine there's just like a clear norm that's like the community's either formally accepted or informally accepted. You know, just that if you do something contrary to the way like the Tzibor normally recognizes the Kedushin, that wouldn't be good. Right. I think that's the idea, Evan.
Right.
You know, you're right that today, I guess, the, you know, there is no, like, what's the representatives of the Tzibor who would even preside over this kind of thing. But, you know, you can imagine, like, more like an European model where there's, like, a kind of political leadership of the Jewish community. You might think that something, an institution like that would have a say. In America, it's true that for whatever reason, it's, you know, I guess the rabbis lead the communities on a lot of these things. But that's incidental, not essential for the way the halacha seems to view this.
Evan, can I add something very quickly, Itamar?
Sure.
Yeah, it just so what Evan started off his comment with, just like maybe like 5 minutes ago. I so there are two categories. I forget who distinguishes between them. I think it was the Rivash. There's a different, although I might be wrong about that, there's a difference between afkinhus that are like prospective and grounds for retrospectively invalidating a kiddushin.
Well, I thought the whole point is that you can't really like retroactively do it unless you have something to sort of hang the afkiniv on.
Right. Exactly. So, right. So these are, so the important, yeah. So I think that's true, which is why like in contemporary, like a lot of the Beis Din, that international Beis Din that, you know, is pretty liberal with the grounds on which it says afkinhu, has run into a lot of controversy, but because there are a couple of cases in the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Gittin, and so on. But these are not retrospective invalidations. The idea is that it was never chal to begin with. Everybody agrees, right, that retrospective invalidations, well, it was
followed. So if you're hanging this on Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker, so then that's fine, right? Because the money that I gave was never actually money.
Hang it on.
Right, but I'm saying so, all right. So even an implicit Tanai can ruin the fact that I gave her a ring.
Sure,
that I gave her the $100.
Sure,
right. So I'm saying that's a step. That's at least
I don't think it's such a step. The there are, once you buy into the idea that the community has the power, like generally, to regulate financial institutions, the fact that this particular financial institution touches marriage shouldn't deplete the community's power over regulating it.
So one, you're saying at least that you're sort of shrinking it to just still be kind of in the mumum sphere, which is fine. I think it's like, it's not crazy. But two, I think if there'd be some sort of non-monetary afkinehu idea, I don't know if we would say that Tanai would.
So the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about it, precisely this point, because it says, you know, well, you know, maybe you could say afkinhu for kiddushei kesef. What about kiddushei bia? And the Gemara says shavin biyaso labias znus. So Rashi al Atar takes this to mean that, like, basically the, you know, I think that this.
We don't need to get into
the weeds
of Kol Mekadesh here. I do want to point out that. The Tashbates himself in that same tshuva that we were reading, I think he's treating it in the not in the Hefker Bezdin sense. Look at this part of the tshuva here. I'm curious to hear what you think. He says, he quotes the Gemara of Darshin on Lashon Hedyot, the Gemara on Kuf Dalet and Hamakabel, and he cites the idea that Darshin on Lashon Hedyot is like a Tanai Bezdin, that Af Bishlo Nichtav Ariu Kamisha Nichtav. And then he says, V'hochanami de Kavase. That's the same principle that he wants to apply to this case of Afkas HaKiddushin. Kivan shetakana kvua hi bitzibor shelo yechulu kiddushin ad sha'as nesu'in afilu kidesh stam inan chalim elad oso shah. Okay, so there's no kiddushin that's chal based off the takana blocks the kiddushin from being chal. And he says, even if they're afilu lo pirshu b'takana kain, even if the takana is not explicit about the mechanics, ela sha'amru shekol ha-mekadesh lo b'sha'as nesu'in shelo yechulu ela ad sha'as nesu'in hare elu kiddushin tluyin. It would be like the Maisa Kedushin is Taloi on the Nisuin going into effect. He says, Nisuin Ari Kemekadesh Mishar Rishona Kemekadesh Al Tnai. Sh'im Niskayim Al Tnai Ari Mekadesh Mishar Rishona. It has the power to turn the first Kedushin into like a contingent Kedushin that would only be effective if it's completed by the Nisuin. And then when he closes the tshuva, he says, blah, 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 afilu bidvar erba, they have this power. And that's given over to the tzibor. Here you don't see him appealing to anything like hefker, bezin, hefker explicitly. I think it's perfectly consistent with the idea that it's, you know, just kol ha-mekadesh, that I did tzibur ha-mekadesh. We'll see another formulation like this in the Rishonim. You're right, kol, in this other tshuva in Bez Simin Hay. And this is the second makar I wanted to draw to your attention. The Tashbates was asked, Tzibor she'eskimu shekol mi she'yikadish isha shelo midas cheber iram v'ziknei hakol shelo yikidush of kedushin. Similar idea that you need to do the kedushin with the approval or with the knowledge of the representatives of the town. Is that doma to kol de mekadish adai to draban and mekadish? So he starts off with the hefker bezin. Pirsha nachon neshiyish reshus biad bezin lahafker mamon hefker bezin hefker. And once you're mafker the mamon, the kedushin is no longer the money of the baal. Then he says, and look at this explicit acknowledgement of the extension. He says, v'yim kein am yecholam lahamshich ha'inyan hazel lahaskamas hatzibor. So he says explicitly that we could extend this to the tzibor. And then he says, V'yicholin hatzibor la'asos kein ripnei geder v'takana k'desh lo yikpots hedyot echad v'yifatin arabas tobim. So there's like some good reason for this kind of a takana. And then he says, interestingly, that if this is like an old agreement, harei yukilu kol echad v'echad kibol la'atzmo kein v'adavar yoser pashat. What do you guys make of that distinction? That he says, this distinction between just a brute takana of the B'nai Ha'ir and this idea of if there's an old agreement, then it's even stronger because it's as if everybody accepted it. Remember we had this suffix, I think, in the language of the earlier Rishonim, where there, I think it was the Rashba, where the Rashba who said, oh, it's like Nemen Alay Abba, Nemen Alay Avicha, Nemen Alay Shlosha Rai Bakar through a takana sakal. And here the Tashbeis seems to be saying there are two different mechanisms. One is based off a takana, and the other is through a haskama kiduma, which makes it ki'ilu kol echad kibla latzna, the adavar yoser pasha. Right? It's easier if it's like an old agreement in the town, because then it has this normative force of ki'ilu, everyone is makabla aleyan, which suggests that the kibla aleyan is a different principle from the takana seyir. Anybody have thoughts on that distinction? No, it looks like you have a thought on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the Takana Sayer would apply even to like, you know, would apply even to people who didn't opt in. But here there's sort of this like assumed opt-in for even, you know, for every single person. So there still is like this element of authority in the case of like a Rasha'in B'nai Ha'ir situation, that like, fine, maybe that authority comes from like this Das Ruchat Tzibor, but still it's like, you know, it's sort of like it's some sort of like compulsion like against like some people who didn't agree to that, maybe. Whereas like this is like actually just every single person accepts it because it's like a really old minhag. Yeah. To me, that's, I mean, that could be like one reason why it would be like more powerful.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And that shows that you could disentangle this implicit kilu kol echad kibbal atzmo idea, this almost implicit okol tanai shev mamon, that individuals agree to idea, from the broader idea of the, right, has the koach hatzibor to make these gzeiros, which is another important makar in distinguishing these two concepts. Good. Adam?
Yeah, two things. Firstly, it seems that if it's already haskama kaduma, that theoretically, even if the rationale behind it has long gone, you'd still uphold it. And that seems to be the point over there. Initially, I just like wonder, what point does a zero of actually become the haskama kaduma?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like over time, right, if this is something that's just widely acknowledged and accepted, so you can have a takana that if people take it up in the right way, then it becomes like a haskama, right?
Right.
And then it has even greater legitimacy or greater power. But a gzeira that's just like imposed top down by law or by decree, that could be weaker because you're forced into it through this koach ha'ir idea. Yeah. Yeah. Yakir, you have a Yakirin.
Yeah, I just got to push back briefly on this idea that we're disentangling two different mechanisms. I mean, my read would be exactly the opposite, that it's all one mechanism. It's Yoser Pashut. If there's actual umdina that people have been around long enough that they know about it, there's no doubt that they're Mekabel. But even in the absence of that sort of umdina, we can still treat it as if they're Mekabel.
So it's just two shiurim in how everything is about like Kabbalas B'nai'ir, but a Kabbalas Kulam is stronger than a Kabbalas Rubam, right? That idea here?
I don't know if it's stronger in the end. I don't know if stronger is the right word. It's just, it's Yoser Pashut. It's easier to understand. It's easier to understand how it actually comes about.
Ah, so not even if there's greater halachic force to it, it's just, easier to swallow if everyone's on board than if only most people are on board.
Something like that.
So you don't think that there's any real halachic legitimacy of the takana that hangs on this?
Yeah, I don't see any of that.
Interesting. Right, that's an interesting suggestion to think about it. Gabe, was that the same point you were going to make?
No, I agreed with my Chavrusa's reading, so I accept that point. I wanted to ask about the previous line, which we glossed over, this idea of the tzibur can do this, kedishal equals hadyod achad v'fatanara. What was that?
Yeah,
that seems like an interesting, I mean, he sort of drops it as an aside, but it's a check on the power of the tzibur. The tzibur only has a koach as long as we agree to what the sort of body of chachamim like what they're doing. That seems like a limitation. I'm not sure what the mechanism of the limitation is.
Gabe, where did you get the body of Chachamim idea?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Tashbitz is giving his stamp of approval to the Tzibur. Let's say the Tashbitz didn't give his stamp of approval to the Tzibur's Takana and disagreed with it. It felt like it was antithetical to Halacha. Would the Tzibur still have this Koach?
Interesting. I think Mitnick made a similar horror earlier about, they have this Koach Litakanas Hakahol. Right, it sounds like the power is circumscribed, that they should act like for the public good or for the betterment of society, which is interesting. That's an interesting circumscription of the power of the B'nai Ha'ir. Maybe that's what we're getting in this tshuva also, that he thinks it has to have some geder v'takana element. And he's just cashing that out in terms of yikvot zahed yodecha v'yifat v'nar v'astovim v'yikad shena v'tina. So, like, if this takana had no social benefit, then, like, the B'nai Ayur can't make arbitrary rules. It's interesting. So you're saying that maybe this is, this speaks to another limitation on the Koach, like, Rashan B'nai Ayur, like, only L'migdar Milsa.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, because I think that's a good point. Yoni, do you agree with that, Diak?
Yeah, I'm just this Tashbits or these two Tashbits just take this stuff like very far, so it's hard to pull back on the full throttle that you you know put in like last couple times.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. He does seem to go all in. We'll see two other formulations here. I want to in the Chachmei Svarad. So yeah, the Marashtam.
One quick question on the Tashbits. What do you make of the second half of the second tshuva there, where he seems to pull back because his Dabar Shib Erva? It seems like to be a direct contradiction with his prior tshuva.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. No one didn't really know what to make of this. So he literally said in the previous one, oh yeah, it's Borer that by Dabar Erva this should work. And then he said, well, no.
Yeah. Interesting. We saw something similar in the Rivash, right? Zachar, you made the same mar like in the literature on the Rivash. He says, "Zehan yir mishoresh halacha elo shemishim chomer arayos yesh halacha shem binan beidina alam mafkleim amona." And you're saying, what's the difference between these two tshuvos? And the earlier tshuva, he didn't have that that hesitancy or that reticence, and here suddenly he has it for davar sheberva. Right.
I mean, it's consistent in as much as, like, unlike the Rashba, he consistently says the power is in essence a power based in, and then we have to extend it to Tzibor. So it's consistent with that outlook that he's now saying, well, let's doubt there might be room to doubt that extension. Yeah, as opposed to the Rashba, some of his formulations seem to see it as in essence a power of the Tzibor, and then there would be no room for hesitation at all.
Chaim, you know, if Chaim Soloveitchik's analysis would be something like in all his articles, he has this thing about when Rashi has a big chiddush, first you see it like very in this very conservative way, it's like libi megamgim bedavar or libi nokfi bedavar, and then like in a later piece you see it like the full throttle like head there, and you know, it's like he has the same idea. Like at the first time you say it, it's you always say it with the qualifications. But then, like, you know, later on you say with the full, or he'll say things like, oh, this must have been Rashi younger in life, where he didn't have the, you know, the self-confidence to just, like, draw the halachic conclusion to its logical, like, to its full logical reach. But, I don't know, I think Yakir's answer is sufficient here. We don't have to start, oh, this tshuva was before the other tshuva.
Why would maturity would make you more circumspect, not more confident? Maybe it's projection.
It's interesting. Interesting point.
Yeah. Can you explain your answer? Can you say your answer again?
What's that, Noah?
Could Yakir say his answer again?
Yakir, you wanna?
Yeah, I mean, I was just noting that, you know, there were some formulations on the Rashba where he seemed to talk about just Hefker Tzibor, Hefker directly or something. And so that in essence, these powers are powers of the Tzibor, primarily or in equal measure as they apply to Beistin. Whereas the Tashbates, we saw the formulation in the beginning, that he says definitely this is a power of Beistin, and then the question we have to ask is, does it extend to the Tzibor? And then he has an argument for why it extends to the Tzibor. So it's consistent with that he's then more hesitant to act l'maisa on that extension.
Part of his question here is also not just a question of like Beistin or Tzibor, but it's also a question of the what kind of Beistin, like he might. Like he limits it to Beidin and Da'alim, like Beidin Ravami Ravasi. So it's like not just a question of Beisdin or Tzibor, it's also a question of like what, you know, maybe just like the Beisdin HaGadol Shebedor.
Yeah, but I think he's thinking that the call might be this, like a kind of Bezin She'eino Olim. That's what he's thinking. Although we saw in earlier Chuvos, people said, oh, Bezin has this koach, and Kol Shekein, the call themselves, have the koach. Right? It's interesting to figure out what exactly is the relationship between this idea of a Bezin Olim, Avir Sheva Avirim. I want to look now at these other Rishonim, Marshtam, I guess, is early Achron. Because he has a good formulation. This was this is Simon Tuf Mem Zayin in his Chubas and Choshen Mishpat. Here he's just talking about a kohol that had a haskama that if someone died without fulfilling their tzedakah obligations, that they wouldn't bury the guy, they wouldn't bury the mace, ad sheyifru hayorshim oso asach shehayachayev letzedakah. Pretty interesting takana. Remember in the Rabbanut in Israel when they wouldn't. The chief rabbi said that they shouldn't bury this guy until they shouldn't bury this fellow's mother until he gives a get. Anybody following that from a few months ago or a year ago? So, you know, pushing off a kura is a pretty serious thing. But they hear this sounds like the call just had this gzeira or takana not to bury the mace until the Yarshim give the tzedakah that the mace was chayiv. And here the Marashtam just answers, Ein zetzarech lefnim, kedavar pashadu, kimash osim akol, arosh akol, umu'ushar, mekuyim aleim, kedavar hanigzar mipi bezin hagadol. And he says, yeah, you know, there are a lot of tshuvas that we've shown him to this effect. So it's pretty interesting. He just runs with this idea of the takonos akol. He says it as koach bezdin, and he allows for it to apply to this case. In Simon Tufkov Samech Vav, did anybody have thoughts on that, Marashtam? Anything, any comments to make on it? Eitan?
Yeah, I guess I had like a larger question that he seems to be touching on, which is, can we, you know, push off or even have some sort of like bizayon for the mace in order for people to like square themselves financially. Meaning, I think up until this point, we've seen like, oh, whether or not halacha can or the community can establish things that, like Evan was talking about, like if something is by the book, can you go in a slightly different direction? But this just seems to be like there's actually like a head-on-head conflict between like halacha talks about the need to bury right away and like the cover that one should give to a mace. And then on the other hand, we're talking about like a choshen mishpat, like we need to make sure that this guy's financial books are covered before that happens. So I'm just wondering if this case isn't slightly different because of that, you know, butting heads that's occurring almost.
Yeah. So, you know, you see that in the Kedushin case a little bit, this, but I think, yeah, that you see here that Marashtam doesn't really think that there's a problem with this takana and it's Mushar or Makuyam. And it gives what's that?
It happens to be that, and maybe I read this wrong, but my read of the question here was that the Yorish in this case was saying he just doesn't want to pay and he doesn't care about the Kura point. Like, if they don't want to bury him, don't bury him, but he doesn't want to pay. And so the answer here is just that, well, the takana is strong enough to create a chiyuv mamon. So the actual question doesn't actually turn on whether or not the kavura part of the agreement is legitimate. It just turns on whether or not the kihila has the power to create an actual chiyuv mamon, or whether they can just threaten.
This is true. The question is, do you think In the Marashtam saying that Kamash Tikna Kol Kayam, isn't that implicitly validating the pushing off the Kura part also? Or you're saying no, you could be skirting that issue altogether and just saying this is Chus Tfisa from the call because the mominous part of the Gzera is Kayam.
Yeah, that was my read, just because whether the Kura part was legitimate wasn't really an issue in this case.
Yeah. See, I agree with your reading. I just think the fact that he doesn't take issue with that takana and just says komash tikna kol kayim sounds like he thinks that this is a legitimate takana also. But I definitely see why, you know, you could read it just on the narrow dini mamonis issue, and then you could avoid Eitan's Eitan's point. Eitan's point. Look here at this tshuva of the Rashbash. The Rashbash.
Yeah. One of the things that Z and I were wondering about this tshuva was like him like sort of appealing to these two different ideas of, on one hand, like the top down authority of Kedavar Nigzar Mipibiz Nagadol, and then this at the end he talks a little bit about like any woman who, I think part of the question is like from the Ksuba, I think.
Yeah, because if you were in Poreah from the Yarshim, you could Poreah from the Ksuba.
Yeah, so then he says like, yes, Tam Adas Minhag Hamadina Nises. So that's like a really different idea of like sort of like opt-in, which maybe has to do with like what people were talking about before.
But I would say Noah, though, that one of the points I'm trying to make, one of the meta conclusions I want to draw is that there is no fine distinction between Kol Anose Al Das versus the Takana Spinei Ear. They're just similar kohos that if there is a clear takana, if there is a clear norm, then people are bound to those norms. So I think you're right that they could be distinguished. Kol Anose Stam is she implicitly accepted it versus the takana is that she's forced to accept it. From the fact that he merges them together, I think that's further evidence that he doesn't really think these are so different, right? And that's something I'll come back to that when I wrap up this part of the discussion. Good. If you look at the Rashbash in Siman Tavkuf Samach Vav, we get another application of this idea of Koach Tzibur Kekoach Bezdin. Anybody remember what the case here is in Tavkuf Samach Vav? Anybody remember what the case is? Rashbash, by the way, is the son of the Tashbates. The Durans were like this huge family of Rabbanim over several generations. There's the Tashbates, who's the first. If you look at like the black Machon Yerushalayim set of Tshuvos, they have like the Tashbates and the Rashbash. Yochin Ubalaz is a grandson. It's like the same family of like Sephardi Poskim that ended up in North Africa after the expulsion from Spain. So what's the question here in Tavkuf Samach Vav? The Rashbash is asked about whether a kehila that does business with people. What's the question? Whether they need a maisa kinyan in the same way that two yechidim who do business with each other require a kinyan, right? Does that ring familiar? Can the call just dispense with kinyanim? So he says, Rashbash says, Kvar kasva rashva, rashva v'chibuseyem, de'olim kocha d'tzibura below kinyan, ke'yachid b'kinyan. It's an interesting view that there's something about the koach ha-kohol that allows it to bypass kinyanim. They don't need to do kinyanim. They have the koach to make these agreements binding on their own. So why is that? So the Rashbash himself fleshes it out and he said, "Ani samachti dvar b'tshuvasi dimishum hefker bezdin naguba." The reason why the kohol doesn't need kinyanim is because they have the power of hefker bezdin. Im kain sibur afilu below kinyan v'davar shelo bal yolam ulemi shelo bal yolam mechirasa mechira. Right, so the kohol could enter into all these contracts and agreements that wouldn't be valid between yechidim. They could transact in things that are davar shelo bal yolam. They could transact two parties who don't yet exist. Right, he cites this Gemara in Bava Basra, and he says that this is like a Tanai Bezdin. That's the Makar in Bava Basra. We saw this. This is a Bezdin can make a takana v'ksuva of b'nin dichrin. And then he says, v'din hatzibor al kehalam k'din Bezdin l'chol ha'olam. Same phrase we've encountered in the past. And then he closes by saying, the olim kocha ditzibura kekoach bezdin, v'im banu levatel mechirasam imkein ma koach bezdin yafa. really important formulation, he attributes to the call this power of Beis Din, and he says it would undermine Koach Beis Din if the call didn't have this power to transact without kinyanim and to do agreements with people, persons who are lo bali olam, because they just have this this fundamental koach beis din power. So I think that's just a very another straightforward articulation of this idea. The last tshuva that I want to draw to your attention is the tshuva of the Yachinu Boaz, so also from the Duran family. And he has a nice formulation on this idea. Again, he's worried about the Kedushin issue. So again, broad powers that the tzibur has when it comes to kinyanim. And then he says, sorry, broad powers that a Beis Din has when it comes to kinyanim. And then he says, v'chi tema dafka Beis Din hu sheyesh lehem rishus lahafkir mamon ha'adam, dalim kochai hu, aval tzibur einam yicholim lahafkir kimo Beis Din. Maybe you'll say there's a distinction between tzibur and Beis Din. He says, no, lo tema hachi ela kimo sheyesh rishus biad Beis Din lahafkir v'lasos takanos lahaknos d'mash einu din nosen kein. And what's his proof for this? Which Gemara does he cite to show that the Tzibor has this koach and it's not just imminent in Beis Din? What does he cite?
Rashan b'nei Yair.
Yeah, right? The Sugya and Davchas, Rashan b'nei Yair, which he clearly understands to be a koach of the b'nei Ha'ir. And then he has these other formulations. He says, the acharshin is bar ze yishlaim and masha gazu hat sibur shelo yakadish adam isha ach elaj hachnasas kal lochaba im olim kochayu bahachi im lav, right? Because yishlomar said bez den yichol mafke kedushin. Saying it's again, it's an interesting question whether even if there the sibur has this koach bez den, do they have the koach to mafkia kedushin? And he answers, and then again, look at this. Here I think is the most important phrase. The kol yachid de mekadesh, adaita de tzibor ka mekadesh. V'tzibura afgeinu lekidushe minei. So this goes back to Evan's earlier point, right? What exactly is the mechanism of Hafkas HaKedushin? Sometimes it's through Hefker Bez and Hefker, being Mafkir the Mamon. Sometimes it's through the Ramban's idea of Kol Mekadesh Adaita Durabana Mekadesh. And here it sounds like the Yachinu Boaz, let's make sure when the Yachinu Boaz, yeah. Sounds like the Yachinu Boaz just says, yeah, that's right. Kol Mekadesh Adaita Tzibur Mekadesh. It's this implicit power that Tzibor has to control these things, and so we could just substitute Adaita Drabanan with Adaita Tzibura. Okay, that's the survey of the, I think, the important formulations in the Rishonim on this Koach Tzibor Kikoach Beis Din and their interpretation of Rashan B'nei Yir La'asiyah Kitzasan. I want to take one last look on this topic at the Ramban in Mishpat Acherim. Anybody here? I added it to the Makoros last minute, so no one probably had a chance to review it. Has anybody seen Mishpat Acherim in their past learning? Anybody come across this?
Well, Yavash referenced it when he talked about the Kabbalah Satora analogy, but I didn't see it.
That's right. Yeah, he referenced it and he cited portions of it. But I want to take 5 minutes to look at this really important discussion of the Ramban and Mishpat Acherim. And there's a lot going on here, a lot of important formulations. So the Ramban, if you read the piece from the beginning, you'll see basically the Ramban is interested in exactly this question. Like, what is the koach hatzibor to be macharim? The reason why he gets into his analysis is because there's a whole controversy in his time about whether you can undo a cherem hakal, Like, what's the mechanism for repealing Cheirem? And what kind of consensus is needed to repeal the Cheirem? But in discussing that question, like a neder shehudar al das rabim, in Lahatara, the Ramban branches out and talks about the underlying mechanism, the underlying halachic validity of Cheirmei Tzibur. Here's what he says. He says, a Cheirem is more chamer than a Shvua, because a Shvua could only be self-imposed. Okay. Aval b'Cheirem, afal pisha lo kibel alav, v'afil lo hayasham b'shas ha-gzeira, kiven shebezin rashayim l'hachrim, kidichsiv, v'akalim v'ashbiyim b'elokim, hare a-Cheirem chal alav. The author who labral osa gizera kimujba mi piatsma. So what do you think of that just introduction that the Ramban gives us? He says there's a distinction between a cheirem and a shvua. Shvua is always self-imposed. A cheirem can be imposed upon you by other.
Reminds me of that image at the beginning of the illustrated version of Hobbes's Leviathan, where you have the king with all the people inside. You have a large picture of a sovereign with all the people inside. So like the whoever the authorities are, they're not ruling. It's not sufficient to say that they govern you. They actually exercise like your own they're your representatives in the sense that they exercise your individual stake in the community's governments on your behalf.
Here's the picture.
Exactly. So this is like very crucial to understanding Hobbes. The king, I mean, Hobbes says that at the end of the state of nature, all the fathers get together and directs this mortal god among men, the Leviathan, which is what Rousseau calls the general will. I think it's the same idea here, that like sovereignty is the exercise of the communities, of the individuals in the community's power on behalf of all of them.
You guys having?
I don't know what's going on.
You guys having anti-Trump?
What is it? Chutznikim. There's a bird. So that means there's a ptur from Talmud Torah. Can you people behave normally? Thank you. All right.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting view. What do you think about the relationship between this idea of tension we saw between Kol Echad Kilu, they are mekabelet upon themselves, this idea of the implicit, what Noah pointed out, you know, minastam, it says if you accept it, or this implied kiblu nemen layaba, nemen layavicha, in aggregation, versus the cherem is just, it's just a power that the koach, that the tzibur has, based off this pasuk, that they could impose, that Tzibur can impose. What do you think on that front, Cole?
I mean, I they're two different, I think the, right, so kimushba mi pi atzmo, so there are two ideas here. One is not the Ramban's idea. One is an earlier idea that just like you are subject to, you are governed by certain institutions, the Kehila or the Bezdin or whatever it is. There's nothing in that about your, that's just like mere subjection to authority. The Ramban's view is actually stronger. It's that the community's exercise of authority, you are vicariously, and in some cases, both vicariously and against your own preferences, exercising authority against yourself by virtue of the community doing certain things.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's so you're emphasizing the kimushba mi piatsmo as part of
the mechanism. Yeah, I think that's Yeah, I think because the idea there is that the, and I think it makes a lot of sense that like you
not
are
just
a
as,
member,
not just as the not just as the legal result that you're bound to it in the same way that you'd be bound to something that you committed yourself to.
Right. It's I think it might be like a legitimating principle, not just a description of the result.
Interesting. Minik, do you agree with Cole's reading?
I don't know. I have to question all my thoughts based on what we've read from the Tashbits and the Rosh Bash.
What's that?
I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, we hear you.
No, I don't know. They're on Bontix in a different way, like, but I don't know how this fits in with like Takano's classically. That's all.
Okay. Let me flesh this out a little further. Notice what the Ramban, the next move the Ramban makes. The Ramban talks about charamim. So he's in, let's say, Maseches Nedarim, right, in mindset, like a Nidoi, Nedar, and Cherem. And then, and he just says, this is a power that Tzibur has. He cites a Pasuk, right? He cites a Pasuk, so it sounds like this is a power del Reisa. Cherem seems to be, in your view, by the way, the same as Hefker Bezen Hefker, different from Hefker Bezen Hefker, right? Maybe a little more Isser involved rather than just Hofeldian power to Mafkia Mamon. Right? Doesn't put in a Cherem Shacht certain kinds of Isurim. What do you think on the relationship between those two?
Talking to me, I don't know. I don't know what a cherem is.
Okay, you think this pasuk that he quotes is a...
I've never seen it before.
Never seen it before?
I don't know what a cherem is.
Okay.
And I don't know that why we have to search... If that's a pasuk, why does the Gemara have to search for something different for Hefker, Bezen, and Hefker?
Okay. Okay, so we have to learn what a cherem is. That's a good point.
Tamar, what's a cherem?
What's a cherem? Ramban says that a cherem is like a shvua and a nidoy, right? It has this power from
cherem's kicking someone out, right?
It's more than that. It sounds here
more than kicking someone out.
Yeah, that's right. I think the Ramban has this a little further on. Let me just see. I can pull up Mishpat Acher. I have Mishpat Acher. I'm here. Sorry. Here. The Ramban has this formulation. Does everybody see my, is my Bar Ilan shared with you? Do you see my Bar Ilan?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you can see here the Ramban's formulation where he says, "Achirim hu ashvua, vashvua hu achirim." He's citing this medrash that achirim really has this power at Snovea from Hochoshvuos. I guess we have to figure out what exactly that is. Ramban cites it again. "Lam dechash achirim hu ashvua, vashvua hu achirim." It's coming back.
Is this like John Keats's line that beauty is truth and truth is beauty?
No, I think he's trying to tell us that this is it's just some, in the same way that people have the power to create, make these things usher to them through Nedarim and Shvuos, the community has the power to create these Yisurim, put things off limits through Koach Shvuah. Look here, what the Ramban then does. So there is some broad framework here of cherem. Notice he starts off by saying that there's a tzad chamor b'cherem she'ein b'shvuos. So he's working within like Maseches Nedarim and Shvuos framework. And he says, v'chein hadin ba'anshe osa ha'ir. It's not just a koach bezdin, right? He says it's also a power that the anshe ha'ir have. Im hiskimu kulam orubam. B'mamad tuve ha'ir, v'hechrimu, kivan sheheim rashayim lahasiya al-kitzasam, l'hachrim b'davar. What's he appealing to? clearly is appealing to Baba Basra Daf Ches, right? Rashaim b'nei Yer Lasi al Kitzasim. So the Ramban reads in a Chirim and Shvua framework into this Koach b'nei Yer. So it's not just a Koach Bezdin to Machrim, it's also a Koach Sibor. And he says, Hachirim shalahem chal al kol hachayavim lelech b'takhanasa. So there's this implied chirim that just goes along with anybody who violates their edicts. V'nimsa ha'over al kitzasam mikol anshe ha'ir, over al hachirim, v'hu ke'over al hashvua. V'hachirim nichnas lo b'ramach evarav, v'kol su es eitza v'savana v'harayu k'menuda livne iro. That's the Ramban getting excited about Halloween. You know, the chirim's going to do bad things to you, right? You'll end up like a skeleton on someone's doorstep. So it's not just, it's hefker bezin hefker, they're mafkia the mamon. They have the right to hold you monetarily liable to pay a penalty you wouldn't otherwise be chayv to pay. The Ramban's leaning into koach shvua, and he's saying that there's this metaphysical iser power that's gonna, you know, scorch you. Let's see, Cole's getting excited here.
Itamar, I have lost you.
You've lost me?
I am more lost than Eeyore in that scene in Winnie the Pooh.
It's probably a bit because you're distracted by the foots in the game chasing the bird around the base medrash.
Or I'm distracted by all the talk of Halloween skeletons and scorching. What are you talking about?
Anybody with me on the Ramban so far? Yeah, Kira, why don't you help me out a little bit?
Yeah, Kira. I don't know if I'm completely there either, but I think the point is just that there's some sort of power that the Tzibor has that must be distinct from Hefker based in Hefker because it's a detail in Hilchos Shavuos that they can impose Shavuos without consent.
That's right. And notice there's this this other component that comes along with it.
Can you give me an example of a cherem? That would be helpful.
The Ramban's going to give us a few examples, but look here, right? So do you know what a nidoy is? Menuda?
Yeah, that's why I said nidoy is when you like partially kick someone out. It's when you say you're not allowed to like go to this guy's house for Shabbos, and maybe you are allowed to do business with him, but you're not allowed to WhatsApp him or something like that. It's like a limited, what's the word I'm looking for? Limited ostracism.
Yeah, and it comes along with some stronger dinim. What's that?
I think there's also one of the Shavuos HaRashba we saw. There was like somebody, and if you don't follow this, you're like Nichnas Tachas Chirim. I forget which one it was.
Yeah, I think the Rash was even borrowing from the Ramban's formulation. I think that's right now.
Oh, it's Tavyat Zion.
Tavyat Zion.
People sometimes refer to Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom as Chirim de Rabbeinu Gershom.
Yeah, good. That's right. That's totally right. And you see that conflation of
I think I once heard your father use that phrase.
Yeah. That's right. And that's this idea that the takana comes along with the cherem. Right? Look here. The Ramban says if you violate the takana, you're kemenudel of Neiro. And he says a cherem is more severe than a nidoy. He says, V'chayavin akol linho gimo kimo cherem belifrosh hamenu kedino. You can't bestow gifts upon this guy who is in violation of the communal takana. Somebody who violates the takana is considered to moel becharamim, not just as someone who violates some monetary penalty. And then he says, v'chein hu chayev hamuchram hazeh linhog iser bitvarim hasurim lemuchram. Igonilas Asandol, Bishar Dvarim Shel Avel, Bishalole Hanos Minechse Hamachrimim. Even the person who's Menuda has to take on the Dine Avelos that are associated with someone who's Muhram. He's supposed to be separated from his wife. He's supposed to wear, he's not supposed to wear shoes, etc., etc. And the Ramban says somebody who violates this cheirem is considered to be gorem ra la'achma over al divrei Torah. He's in violation of divrei Torah for, you know, violating a cheirem. The same as someone who violates a shvua is considered to be in violation of divrei Torah. So the Ramban works within this framework. And then he says, okay, here's where he gets to the transition to tzibur. So you can't have a cheirem created by less than 10 people because you need a chalos tzibur to generate the cheirem. And then he says, if you're less than 10 people, they're not a tzibur. Below bezdim shehu b'makom tzibur. Very suggestive phrase, right? They're not even a bezdim, which stands, I would say, in representation of the tzibur. I think it's an important formulation of what the koach bezdin is in some of these areas. The ein lahem koach lahachrim el hashpiach v'lachad. If you're not a tzibur, you don't have these powers. Then the Ramban says, v'im hechrim oso acherim melech Yisrael, o sanhedrin b'mamad rov Yisrael, Hariya over a love chai of Misa. Notice this. The Ramban's working within the same framework of Cheirem. And he says, the power that a melech has to declare a penalty of death on somebody who violates his laws, that stems from this koach hatzibor, or this koach Cheirem. Right? So if it's a Cheirem that was issued by a Melech Yisrael or a Sanhedrin by Mamad Rov Yisrael, Hareha over alav chayiv misav rash. And then the Ramban says, how do I know that the Tzibor or the Melech or the Sanhedrin have this koach? He says, Rashayim heim haMelech wa Sanhedrin laham misosa beizem misa sheyirtze. Vized dino shel Yehoshua, shedan achan bedinei nefashos, lefisha pashat yado becher me shamayim. Someone who violates a cheirem can be punished with the death penalty. Clearly, we're out of the realm of hefker, bezin, hefker here, right? No one's going to say that if you violate hefker, bezin, hefker, there's a license to impose misa on him, kol misa sheyirtza. And then the Ramban goes further. He says, v'chein b'cher meshvuas bitwe, matzinu sh'amar shaul, mos tamas yonason. Anybody want to remind us here about what the shaul Yonasan story is with the Dvash? Any Cole, looks like you're sitting in the Gush based Medrash there. You should know some Tanakh.
No, I follow your example and don't go to any of the Chulgim.
Okay. Anybody want to help us out? Gabe, you gotta help us out with you're holding all of like Nevi'im Rishonim practically there on your lap, right? Between right? Alicia
Shmuel. Well, then you should answer for me. Vague memory of the story, Shaul goes to war and makes some kind of nether that anybody who benefits from the spoils of the war, or something, not the spoils of the war, but like who eats along the way during the war, would be put in some kind of cheirem, and his son Yehonatan does so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Anybody who benefits from the spoils or whatever will. I don't think it was from the spoils or from the anybody who does this before we.
I think the idea is that they're like trying to fast. Shaul says that they should fast before the war, before they enter the city. So they're sitting on the outskirts of the city. He says everyone should fast, but then Yonatan eats some food, which is different than the Achan story, which is the spoils of the war.
Exactly. In Achan, the story was that they were machrim, the Rechusha ear, right? In David Yonasan, it was they were trying to mobilize everybody to go out to war. And so they said, you can't benefit for Evans and you can't eat, right? And then Yonasan finds some honey in the forest. He didn't know about the cherem, but he's chayiv misa because he violates the cherem. And then, so the Ramban's working within this, he's trying to prove that there's this koach misa for violating a cherem melech, cherem Sanhedrin. Notice the transition. V'chein Yisrael, And there's a girsa, there are two girsas here in the Ramban. Bimei Pilagash Bagiva, Hargu es Anche Yavesh Gilad. Shinemar Kiyashvua Hagidola Haisa, Lasher Lo'ala Lashem Mitzvah, Lamar Mos Yumas. So, what was going on there? And he cites the Medrash to say that it wasn't a Shvua, it was really a Cherem, a Cherem Lashvua, Shvua Cherem. Anche Yavesh Gilad, Lo Alu in a Schaibu Misa. Evan, you want to tell us what was going on with the Anche Yavesh Gilad in the Pilagesh Bagiva story? Anybody remember?
Are they the ones that say we won't marry anyone from Binyamin anymore? That thing, or
slightly different? Noah, you want to help us out here? As your
yeah, I mean, he makes it sound like the issue is that they didn't go fight against the people of Binyamin.
Yeah. They declared war on Binyamin after the Pilagesh Bagiva story. And there was this cherem that whoever wouldn't fight would die. And notice who's declaring the cherem here, right? The Ramban just says Yisrael. So it's not like there was some specific melech. It's not like there was some specific Sanhedrin that was machrim. Right, in the first cases, he talks about a hechem a melech or Sanhedrin. But then here he says, v'chein Yisrael. Even just like the Kehila themselves made this cherem against Sheva Binyamin. And he says that has the halachic power to be machai people misa for violating the cherem. It's like an awesome koach bezdin. It's an awesome koach cherem that just inheres in the tzibor. Anybody have thoughts on this? Eitan?
Yeah, I think the one tricky thing with this proof is that I don't mean to spend too much time on Tanakh, but I think the message of the last story of Shoftim, which is Pilagesh Bagiva, is that you see this is what happens when we don't have strong leadership and everything's kind of a hefker zone. And so I think it's an interesting proof to bring in, like, oh, look, you know, this is the power of the Kahal, when lots of commentators critique the Jews at the time for not having strong leadership and a strong direction. This was kind of like, oh, this in, you know, strong stance against this specific tribe, and all of a sudden we're kicking people out of the nation because of this crazy incident. So I think it's a little tricky to use this as a source, but it definitely works to say, like, oh yes, look, you see that there are instances even in Tanakh where the Kahal or the community or the nation has power on its own beyond or instead of a king and the leader, let's say.
Well, I would put it slightly differently. I think the idea here is that these things are interchangeable, right? So Ramban said in the beginning that the significance of the Bezdin is just that it's been Malkum Sibor. And that's why the Ramban moves easily between Achirim Shehichrim Melech Yisrael, O Sanhedrin, B'mamad Rov Yisrael. The real important point is that you need this Koach Tzibor, or Koach, the representative of the Tzibor. And the Ramban gives a few examples. In his examples, one is like created by Yehoshua, this Chirim, right, in the case of Achan. And then in the case of Shaul, by Melech. But then in the case of Pilagesh Bagiva, it's just Yisrael, right? At least in the Girsa that we have. So the people of Bnei Yisrael got together and said, we're going to war against Sheva Binyamin. And this is a cherem for anybody who doesn't participate. They're going to be chayav misa for not joining in. And the Ramban thinks that's a legitimate power that just resides in the Yisrael themselves, even without the representation of the Melech or the Sanhedrin. And then the Ramban says, like, you might think, wow, like, where does the Ramban get this from? Right? He's quoting some stories in Tanakh. Like, from where does he derive the legal authority? I guess you could show historically that there's some basis for this. So the Ramban does something remarkable here. Yoni, you want to take us through the Ramban in this point? It's really Interesting point. Bani Omer b'shem alachar b'kasha samachila. Want to walk us through this?
I'm good.
You're declining?
Yeah.
If I ask three times, you have to accept after the...
Because it says b'kasha samachila.
Right. interesting phrase. Ramban says, like, look, you know, with apologies, I'm going to go out on a limb here and make the following suggestion.
So isn't this pasuk is in the realm of like hektish and stuff. And so it says, Kol chayim asher hamar adam leip the musimah. So Ramban says that what that means is that the thing that Tzibur agrees to could even carry with it the punishment of death.
Yeah. It's Ramban's like Darshinam Pshuto Shel Kra over here.
Right. I keep struggling with the question of whether we do or don't reconcile this Ramban with the other sources that we've seen so far.
I mean, how they use the Ramban? I mean, in other words, meaning, the Rashba were citing the Ramban in several cases.
Well, they cite the Ramban, the Vela'ot part. My question is, like, you know, if this is true, then that means that the power of a melech to, like, kill people is not like a koach hamelech, but it's instead a koach hatzibor, right? So that's, right. You know, kind of a different view. Maybe the Rambam wouldn't agree with that. Maybe the Drasha Saran wouldn't agree with that.
The Drasha Saran doesn't tell us what the normative basis for Koach HaMelech is. He just says there are these two kofos, right? So it could be the Ran would agree to this Ramban, but
at some point it just is what it is. Like you can only inquire so far until it's like, oh, I guess it's a pasuk, or I guess it's just a power that's just like inherent, right? Inherent power means I don't know what the source is, right? That's what it is.
Right, but the Ramban says that it's koachirim, right?
Yeah, I'm wondering, because I don't remember. I didn't see the word chirim in the shuas or the Rashba and stuff, and I'm wondering if this is like drushas, Rosh Hashanah type of material, or it's something that was accepted by in its entirety by the later poskim who we studied before. I'm struggling with like how to figure it out. Do they disagree? Do they agree? Are they like talking about two different things? I don't really know.
Yeah. I think you're right to say that this Harem framework is much more front and center in the Ramban than in any of the other Chachmei Sfarad who work with the Ramban. Right. So everyone else we saw seemed to lean into Hefker Bez and Hefker much more than into Cheirem. Or if they weren't leaning into Hefker Bez and Hefker, it was called Mekadesh Adaitet Tzibur Mekadesh, I guess an implicit Tanai. The Ramban has the Gemara Shvuos framework, the Gemara Nedarim framework. But let me just get the rest of Ramban here out on the table. So Ramban says, here's the makar for this Koach Tzibur, Koach Melech, to make Takhanos and Gzeros, by the way, which the Ramban explicitly links to Balabasar Dafches of Rashan B'nai Yir, right in that first paragraph. He says, you know, with apologies, here's my suggestions. So it's a recognition he's going out on a limb. Shezeu pshat ha-kosev batorah kol cheir masher yechram in adam lo yiftem os yumas. Right, somebody who is in violation of a cheirem, he deserves death. Kolomar. Kol ma sheheskimu olav ha-kol. Notice over there, right? It's like the Haskamas HaKol, you know, presumably Rubo Kikula or something. He doesn't say Kol Mashe Gazer HaMelech or Kol Mashe Gazer HaSanhedrin. Right? Again, it's Kol Mashe Eskimo Lav HaKol. V'fuchram L'daitam over Alav Lo Yifteh B'mamon El Chayev Misa. Right? He could be Chayev, he could be liable in death. He says, "Valti echosen pinu." Don't tell me that Chazal darshan this pasuk in a different way. Chazal darshan this to mean that someone who's chayev misas bezdin can't buy their way out through paying a monetary penalty. That's a Chazal darshan in Erchin, or at least according to one day. She'ein chayev krisas v'chayev misas bezdin niftarim b'mamon. Basically, Mark Sivis. Ramban says, "Jafal pichin ena mikra yotze midei pshuto." And the Ramban says, oh, you know, even though Chazal darshan it that way, the pasuk still has its straightforward meaning, which is interesting on this methodology of deriving halachos from sukkim question. Ramban even says, halamanu shekama panim shel emes torah. But the Ramban uses this pasuk as just to a way of constructing this koach cheirem imminent in the kahal, mashe skimu levakol, Chen Yisrael, talks about Mamad Rov Yisrael. He talks about Bezdin being B'makom Matzibor. He cites Anshe Oso Ha'ir. Really a fascinating analysis. In the last paragraph that I have here, the Ramban says, V'lo od, Ela Shacherim Chal Afilu Al Doros Habayim Acheri King. Imechrimu Bezdin Al Anshe Ha'ir Be'al Zarum. He points out, like we saw in the Chu of the Rivash, that this Koacherim could even extend to future generations, right? So which implies that it's more than just, everyone is self-imposing it upon themselves. It's a Koach Takana that could reach beyond the people who initiated it. So any thoughts on this Ramban and what it adds to our discussion of Koach B'nei Ha'ir? Let's hear.
Yeah, I didn't think about this before. It's just kind of interesting that like the pasuk about Hefker based in Hefker actually uses the word Chirim. I don't know if that's just like some like weird like linguistic coincidence.
Yeah.
Or if like that might be some support for the
Yachram
Kol Rechusho. Like maybe the Ram. Like, I don't know, does the Ramban, is this the whole piece? Like, does the Ramban quote that as, like, a support? Or?
No, yeah, the Ramban doesn't, the Ramban in this whole analysis of Mishpat Acherem, I mean, the thing is called Mishpat Acherem. He doesn't pick up Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. And I think it's, I'm not sure if for the Ramban, it's a different Koach, but maybe that's just a Din Mamanis Koach, right? And then, in which case, the Sugya of Basar Daf Ches has nothing to do with the Sugya and Yesh Nochlin of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Right.
Does anybody attach the conflate the two ideas?
Mishpat Acherem and Hefker Bezdin.
Yeah,
I would say the closest thing we have to that conflation is the Tshuvas HaRashba that like cite the Ramban, but then put forward a Hefker Bezdin analysis of Koach HaTzibor. But I have to look back more closely at how those two things get mingled together. And this I think is Yoni's point. Are the Tshuvas HaRashba's tinkering with the Ramban's framework, right? Are they trying to move the Ramban out of the Cherem framework into a Dine Mamanis framework? Or are they just saying, oh yeah, it's all the same thing, right? Maybe Hefker Bezin itself comes from a Koach Cherem. But that's not the sense that I get from those Tshuvos, right? And if anything, it's intuitive to think that the power is much more limited to Dine Mamanis, right? The Ramban seems very extreme, right? That what the RCBC could get up and be Macharim with Xeras Onesh Misa. I mean, it does sound like it from some of the letters they send out, right? You know, if you go on vacation to Florida during COVID, they should just borrow that phrase from the Ramban, right? Where's the Cherem is going to be Ole Batza Mosa with Ramach Evarov. Yeah, we should put this into like the COVID call
chorus. That would be too gendered, I think, because only men have Ramachi Var. So I think we'd have to figure something else out.
There you go.
I'm also currently in Florida.
So. I think that all Gabbais across the East Coast have managed to work it out.
What's that, Shua?
The first week I was on at my shul, I was saying the Mishaberach for Cholim, and I did the Ramachush Sad, some guy yelled at me from the back. He's like, Cholim Arem, Chol Yudem.
this is like the question whether women could say Val Briska Shechasamta Biv Sarenu in benching. So, the Beis Yosef says that, so it's like a question whether women should say that. Beis Yosef says, it's like Kaz Ishto Kigufo. So it's like, and Du Part Sufim in Bereshis. Even women could say Abrishka Shefasamte Visarenu, because Zachor Nekeva Brahm. Maybe that's the answer to this as well. Not sure. Anybody have further thoughts? Izhari, you have a thought on the Ramban?
Yeah, no, just like in summary, I thought it's a very clear formulation of there is mention of Beis Din, but still very centered on like a tzibor and a kahal, both on the large scale of Klal Yisrael and the small scale of a single tzibor, of having this certain isurim power. He does seem to extend it to Lasiel Kitzatam in the beginning. But yeah, this kind of like power for them to generate Isurim that apply to everyone is just something that exists. Once you kind of have this, it's not so far to kind of extend it to the Chosh Mishpat realm that we've been dealing with, and kind of like with Noah's thing, but that you can, depending where you put the center of gravity, you can say, well, yeah, if they can do Chayrims, of course, that's just Hefker based in Hefker is just the natural consequence of that.
That's right. But it doesn't go the other way, right? You don't say, oh, if you have Hefker Bez and Hefker, Koach and Bini Mamanis, then it could also be Macharim, right, in the Ramban
side. Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Good. Yoni, do you have a comment, or you're unmuted from before? All right. I think it makes sense. Let me just take one more minute to make one further point, and then we'll pick up, we'll wrap up this whole discussion on Thursday, I guess that's tomorrow, and start Achilas Poalim on Tuesday. So just want to make one further point about this. Not totally sure if this flows from the Ramban's idea, or you could get it out of the Hefker Bezdin approach also. And that is what you get in at least two Rishonim, in the Mordechai in Shavuos, and in the Chumash Hadeshen and Siman Reish Pei Aleph, is what you found, it's kind of interesting sociologically, is that you had individuals who tried to preemptively get out of the Cherme or Takanos HaKal. So there would be kofetz and be nishba that they're, you know, that they won't listen to the Kahal. And the idea was like something along the lines that they would be bound by their shvua, not by the Xeris at Sibor. And so the question that came up before all these Rishonim is whether a Shvua Shalo Lekayim Divrei Hatzibor, is that a valid Shvua? And what would be the halachic grounds to invalidate it? So the Mordechai talks about such a case. And by the way, the reason why people did this is because the Tzibor always was making takanos about taxes. So I guess some guy had the chap that, oh, if I'm just nishba shalo l'kayim divrei hatzibor, then I'm bound by my shvua not to pay taxes, right? So the question that they got was along those lines, and he says, kach ra'isi, this is the Mordechai's response, I think he's citing a Tshuvas Rashi, he says, kach ra'isi sha nishba lavor derech tzibor, nishba lashavhu, there's a shvua shav to be nishba against the tzibor, the tzibor's go there. And if he had Hasra before he took the Shvua, he'd be Chayv Malkus for Shvua Shav. V'lo niftar mitakanas hakal, he's not exempt from the takanas hakal, afal pisha kadma shvuaso ligzeirasam, even though his Shvua chronologically precedes their Gzeira. Shehare nizba levatel hamitzvahi, lasser mechuke hamitzvah. Really fascinating idea. He appeals to the concept of nishba levatel as hamitzvah. He's mushba v'omid mehar sinai. And you can't take a shvua not to shake lulav because it's considered trying to impose a shvua on a shvua. You're already mushba v'omid mehar sinai. So you can't impose a shvua on your pre-existing shvua to mekayim the mitzvos. The question is, how could he extend this to the case of listening to the takanas hatzibor, right? What's the mitzvah lishmo at takanas hatzibor? Right? He says that you're violating arash l'yakim es divrei Torah zos. So it's one thing to say that the tzibor has this power to make takanos. It's a little bit further to say that you're considered mitzuveh to listen to the takanos hatzibor, right? One thing to say that tzibor has the license and the legal power to make these decrees, something else to say that there's a duty incumbent upon each yachid to listen to the tzibor. Chumash Hadeshen makes a similar point in Siman Reish Pei Aleph, just mention it and we'll conclude. He says, hanishba shelo yikanes the takanos hakal chashiv shu ashav, kimo nishba shelo lechal matzah or shelo leishe basuka. Alma de takanas hakol nami del raisa. There's some just del raisa power that the kahal has to make these takanos. So we'll stop here, but maybe just consider for tomorrow know, what does that say about the Koach HaKol? Right? What mitzvah would it even be? Or do you think this is a consensus view about the Koach HaKol? But you see from these two Rishonim that there is this antecedent chiyuv mitzvah that makes you heal your mujrav on Mer Sinai. Shula, you have thoughts on this last point?
I mean, I am trying to develop thoughts on this last point. I think it's hard to say like what the it's not like teriyag, right? This chiyuv, as far as I can tell. So it's all a little bit hard to like kind of develop a theory that like allows for a positive obligatory chiyuv that's outside of that it has like equal or semi-equal force, right? I think
it's a little surprising, right? You wouldn't have thought that. You might say, oh, they have the power and they could penalize you legally, but like, where's the mujbah v'omeid on this?
I think you have to think about like other examples that we have of I guess like meta halachic chiyuvim. I don't know, like,
yeah, but remember the Chumash Adashim says, right? It's Knishba Shalol Lechol Matzah Shalol Shalol Lechol
Basel. No, I know, but that could be a comment on force, right?
Yeah.
More than on category.
Yeah.
I think that's my like general working assumption about rhetoric like that.
Maybe it's Los Sasser, right? Shashal Kaviagetcha Zikenecha Biyomolov, something along those lines, maybe.
And what's Zikenecha about this? What's like, I think we have a pretty good idea of what Los Sasser is generally, so this would be a pretty stark expansion.
So we thought.
I don't know, do you have a framework, or are you going to tell us tomorrow?
No, I need to think about it. I just wanted to draw this to everyone.
Of course he has a framework. It's from the Koach of Bezdin, and just the Kahal is the underpinning. So
that's obvious. I mean, you're going to get yourself into trouble here, because like you can't presuppose a Koach Bezdin framework and then what? And then Los Sasser? Is that like the only answer if you fit it?
No, well, tomorrow he'll be older and more confident, so he'll actually be able to say it.
Levy Noki. All right, Shkayach, everyone. This is very, very good today. So let's pick up tomorrow with wrapping up Rosh Hashanah and B'nai Yir.
This question, what are we doing tomorrow?
I think regular 11 o'clock should work. Does that work for you, Shua? Or?
I could probably make it work. Yeah, 11 o'clock is 10 o'clock here. That should be fine.
Depending on the weather here, I will or won't be there.
I mean, we have a Category 2 hurricane hitting in a couple of hours. So
you're not going anywhere?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of wind, so I might go somewhere. But
all right, Shkayach, everyone.
All right, sure.
All right.
Thank you very much.